Elon, in the name of the Lord. Living the Christian life. You know, we're all on the way, aren't we? Somewhere we're on the way to. And hopefully we're all on the way to, as the song of Matt, glory for me. We're on the way to glory, we hope to be. We must be on the way to glory. Or if we're not on the way to glory, we're on the way for eternal damnation. Because there's only two places to go. Now tonight, I want you to kind of picture yourself on a highway, the highway of life, and you're traveling this highway to heaven. Really think deeply about that. But here's this highway that you're traveling on. And Paul describes many times, I'll say many times, he describes in the Bible more than once about a race. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says that about his life. He says, "And if know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, or he takes care of his health and he does things because he wants to be able to win the race. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep on in my body and bring it into subjection." I think that's one of the key verses in the whole Bible, if I may say, what Paul said here, that I bring my body into subjection. I make myself do certain things. I make myself. I say, this is part of what you've got to do, and this is part of what you are going to do. This is the right thing to do. Sometimes it's not easy. You think it was easy on our Lord to go to the cross? You think it was easy on Paul to be beaten like he was beaten? What, five times? It means what, thrice he was beaten with rods? You think that was easy? I don't think any of us believe that it is. But he says, I keep on in my body and bring it into subjection. He says, I run. I don't do it just kind of uncertain way. I just don't try to go here and there. But I run that I might obtain salvation. And you know, when he came to close his life, he talked about the time out of parties at hand. And he said, then he said, sounds like a race. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. He finished the course. And so tonight as we study on this, about living the Christian life, let's think about on this highway, and this highway needs to happen. We don't want to get off this highway at any time. But that's the way tonight we're thinking about this, of living this Christian life. And the first thing we want to talk about is traveling light. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, there's one of the great moving passages in the whole New Testament. And it kind of summarizes what I'm talking about tonight, the Christian life. It just puts it, it just summarizes it. Now, on this road, on this highway we're on, we're not just tourists, we're not stopping here and there, but we're on a journey. We're on this trip, on this journey. And we're going to a place, a better place than we live now. We're on the way. And you know, it would do well with us, I believe, at the close of each day to stop and ask ourselves, after this day, am I really further on? That's a soul-searching question, isn't it? On this journey now, at the close of this day, could you really say that your goal as a Christian is to get to heaven? And could you say tonight that this day has been a day that you can honestly say that I'm further on of where I want to be? We're traveling His highway. We live in the Christian life. And so Paul is saying here in Hebrews 12, now, the first part of this verse, he's talking about chapter 11. In chapter 11, just to give you an overview of that, he talks about people there that have lived and suffered many things. And they still were servants of God. And he talks about them here. Listen to what some of them, what happened to some of them. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging. Now, scourging is a beating. Yet they were bonds and imprisonment. He says some were put in jail and put in bonds. They were stoned to death. They were sawn asunder. Can you imagine us coming up tonight thinking about that? What it would be like to be in a sawmill. Some of you have been to a sawmill. And you know where that log is coming down that conveyor, whatever it's on. You head for the giant blade. Can you imagine being strapped down to that whatever and being headed for that giant blade to be sawn in two? It would take your body. That's what he's talking about here. I don't know if exactly it was in that way. But they were cut in two. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And can you imagine me on Judgment Day standing up there before the Lord with these people as my witnesses? He's going to talk about it in chapter 12, verse 1, about these are a crowd of witnesses. These people have gone on and served God. Can you imagine me up there on Judgment Day and I went into a church in Ruggles? What? Before? I mean, you can't say this, right? And there's all these people, and all these suffering, all they went through, here I am up there, with all the convenience I got. Look at what I had. I got an automobile to drive in tonight. Sure I did. I didn't have to walk a step when I got out of here, come out of here. Can you hear me explain that to the Lord? Why I don't go to service, why I miss the service? This is what he says here. Look at verse now. We're going on chapter 12 now, verses 1 and 2. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses. Now, that's what those were. Those witnesses back in chapter 11. Those people that have lived their life, and they lived their life for God, and then did many things. And did so many sad things. He said, let us lay aside every weight. And then, there's some things in life that we haven't got time for. Like it or not. When in itself, it's not a sin, maybe. Could be. Could lead to sin. But we just don't have time for it. And it might be a hobby. It might be an acquaintance. It might be somebody. It might be a habit. It might be a pleasure. Now we're on this highway, we're talking about traveling light. And if I'm in a race, fans, if I'm gonna climb Mount Everest, I don't even want to put a load of lumber on my back, do you? And say about halfway up, I'm gonna be in your shed for the night. I don't think I'm gonna try that. If I'm gonna run in a race, I don't think I'm gonna try to take a ball and chain with me, do you? And so on this highway we're on, Paul is saying, let us lay aside every weight. Can you think of some weights that you can lay aside? And that might be redecoration. You know. That's right. You might not want to cut the grass as often. We do a lot of that. You know, people come from out west, they see all this grass, they say, y'all must cut grass all the time. You ought to go out in Arizona and see some of those yards. It might be some things that we don't need to do. That we don't have time for. You know, Ben Seifer, I don't remember this. He told me years ago about woodwork. He said, you best be careful in doing too much woodwork. It kind of gets in your blood. Man at work told me, fact, kind of the same thing he said, you get sawdust in your blood. And you know there's something to that. You can get to have a hobby that you enjoy, and you spend a lot of time at it, can't you? Oh, you can. Ask yourself sometimes, what kind of weight am I carrying? But the writer of Hebrews, which we read to be Paul, we don't know, he goes on to say, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Okay, now in this race, Paul said, weights will drag you down, they will beset you, they will cause you not to make it, and sin also. Well, we know about sin. What we talked about the other night, how does sin come, how does the devil come to you? With a handshake, with a smile, with a pat on the back. Sin always seems crazy, but it always seems cozy. Doesn't it? You always think you can quit any time you want to. Nah, it can't, it ain't gonna control me. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how it'd take over your life. What sin will do to you? And he said, you gotta lay it aside. But sometimes it's hard to lay it aside, isn't it? Because you've done it so long, it's so much a part of you that you feel like you just can't hardly give it up. I somebody telling me to give up eating chocolate. I'd hate to give up chocolate, but I guess I could. But giving up sin is something that we've got to do, isn't it? We've got to lay aside any weight and the sin that's so easily beset us. And then he says something else, run with patience. Patience. What do you think that means? What do you think that means? Well, when we think about patience, we think about maybe coming in at lunchtime and asking Mom, are you hungry, you know, and you smell the food cooking, and Mom says, and you say, Mom, what am I going to eat? I'm hungry. Mom says, well, just be patient. It'll be ready in a little bit. Well, this is not talking about this kind of patience, okay? Where we sit down and bow our heads and fold our hands. The word is used here means this. And I want you to really get this because it's so important to our lesson tonight. It means steadfast, endurance. What does that mean? That's what he's talking about right here. That's an original Greek word. It means steadfast endurance. It does have something that you're trying to do and you fail, but you're patient with it. You try again. And then you fail again, but you're still patient. You try again. You don't just throw it away and quit and say, I can't do it. And that's what he's talking about here. Somebody laying aside of the weight, they decided to sin. He says, run the race with patience. Let nothing stop you. Let nothing deter you from what you're doing with your life. No matter discouragement from within, discouragement from without, discouragement from your family, from your friends, nothing, Paul says, can stop you. You think he got discouraged? Would that be discouraged to get beat with rods? And that time there's in jail, Paul and Silas, you know that time, what happened is that woman kept falling, you know, so there was a service of Jesus Christ, so they made it that spirit come out of her. And so Master saw that they lost her, they didn't have any more way to make the money, so they put him in jail. They beat him and put him in jail. Paul and Silas. You know what they were doing? What would you be doing? Here I am out here doing good, praising the Lord, and I get beaten and thrown in jail. I might have been a villain, you know. Why'd you let this happen to me, Lord? You didn't give me a beating. I'm all beat up, and here I am in jail. You know what they were doing? They were singing and praising God. What were they doing? They were steadfast enduring They were running the race with patience. They were not letting anything stop them as they served God. It's determination. It's unresting. It's unhurrying and undelaying. Obstacles will not stop it. Nobody will stop it. Like the woman said one time, her husband, she was going to church. He got the gun out. He said, I told you, I don't want you going to church over there. He said, if you head out that door, I'm going to kill you. She said, well, let me tell you, it's like this. She said, if you kill me, I'm going to heaven. And if you don't, I'm going to church. Are we that motivated? Are we really? How about this? You don't want to go to church. Sunday morning, you know, you don't want to go. But you can't think, here, a race comes on, 11 o'clock. Oh, you want to be up there at race. So Gideon, he sneezed. And he said, oh, hear that? The wife said, yes. Hear Gideon, he sneezed. She says, I know. You think he's getting sick? Nah, he's okay. I don't know, you know, Sister Jane Doe at church, you know, she's pretty elderly, you know, and she might catch it. He may have something contagious. You know what you're doing? You bet he's sneezing. You finally got some reason. You think reason. No, it's not, is it? You wouldn't think about staying home for work the next day for that. See what I'm saying? We need to be real honest with ourselves. You know, Christianity is real personal. You know that? It just gets right down to the thing about life, isn't it? It's just real straightforward. The Bible don't beat around the bush. Jesus Christ, when he preached, he just told them like it was. And they hated him because he did. And so we run with patience. We're on this road now. Remember, we're on this highway. We're on with patience. The race that is set before us. And he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. My friends, you know what Paul said, I told you how to go to the close of life. He said, I finished my course. I kept the faith. You know, that is so powerful to think about what he said. I never lost faith in the Lord. You say, well, that's something I don't lose. You know that? I don't lose faith. No matter what life holds for me or holds for you, whatever it is, and we don't know what it's going to be, we've got to make it through. And we can make it through by His help. We look to Him and we trust in Him. You know what said in Philippians? I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Whatever it is in life, you can do it. And we run in this race with every side what? Every race. With every sin that does so easy to set us and run with patience the race that is before us. Looking to Jesus. All the time looking to Jesus. He's going to look on your own self. On your strength. But look on His. Trust in Him. Realize He cares about you. Realize how much He loves you. I think sometimes we forget that. I think we ought to sit down and meditate on that. Tell your children about it. Tell them when they're a little bitty, bitty thing. About how much God loves them. How much He cares for them. What He does for you. What He's doing for me. What He's done for so many people. Never lose your faith. Never at any time lose that faith. Try again, look at it. Don't carry around failures. You remember the story back, the book of Genesis about Abel and Cain? Now Cain is an interesting story. It's a sad story. But it says in chapter 4 of Genesis, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. And so he brought an offering from the fruit of the ground. Now, I don't know exactly what was wrong here, but it wasn't accepted by God. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. So you see the picture here. Abel's offering was accepted by God, but Cain's was not. What did Cain do? And Cain was very wroth. And he captained his face. That means his face was dark with rage, is what his countenance is, your face. And he was very mad. And God talked to him. You know what God said to him? He said, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? He said, what are you so mad about? And why is thy countenance fallen? Why is your face so angry, Cain? Why are you looking that way? You know, people are different. Some people short, some people powerful. And they say, one time, my wife went a whole week didn't speak to me. So we'd be sitting there in the living room. She'd say, Mark, tell your daddy so-and-so. So I'm sitting over here and every word of it, you know. But she's talking to my boy to tell me something because she ain't speaking to me. But some people do it a different way, don't they? And Cain evidently had a bad temper because what he had done wasn't right. But things when you do something wrong, what can you do about it? Get mad about it? Why do you want to get mad about it? What do you do that for? You know, if the preacher preaches on something that we're not doing, what do we want to get mad about it for? We want to stay on this highway, don't we? We want to go to heaven when we die? Sure we do. But don't get mad. See what the Bible says and live according to what it says. And that's what God is talking to Cain about. You know, Cain, we can straighten this thing out. You can change your life. That's what he's talking to him about. This is what he says to him out here. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He says, Cain, you can change it. And I will accept it if you'll do what's right. But he says, if you don't, the devil's at your door, Cain. And he was, and he let him in, and he killed his brother. That's right. He did. He sure did. He killed his own brother. Because of his sin. Not his brother's sin. He was jealous because of what he had done. And his brother had accepted, is accepted by God. God tells him, he says, and if thou dost not well, sin lies at your door, which it did, and he let him in. And under these shall be his desire, and I shall rule over him. He says, but you can rule over Satan. If you will. He says, you can too. And so, as you look back at your life, failures, we come back to traveling on this road tonight, living the Christian life. It's not, physically it all sin. If you thought I can come here tonight with little white hands, you just as wrong as you can be. Because I've fallen short many, many times. But see, you can make it right, what he's talking about. You can get forgiveness of it. It don't live in your sin. It don't cover your sin. He says you shall not prosper. You need to forsake your sin. Confess your sin, forsake your sin, make it right, and you can do that. You don't have to go to a church every time. And I believe it's a public nature, I believe you should. And let them know. But you can pray to your Lord, as a member of the Lord's church, and ask for forgiveness of your sins. You sure can. But don't let it drag you down. And once you do that, once it's forsaken, and once it's forgiven, move on this road. Because if it's on the other side, that's the weight. I believe it is, don't you? That's the weight. Living about past mistakes because people make mistakes. That's just the way life is. But you get forgiveness from it. You can forsake it. You can move on with your life and God will accept you. That's what he talks about right there. He said, if you'll do well, I'll accept that. You can make your life better, Cain. But if it says that you don't let him in, but Cain let him in. Don't carry grudges. In Proverbs 17:9, he that coveth a transgression seeketh love. Now, you know what that means? Love forgives mistakes. Listen to the rest of that verse. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Now, what he's talking about is close friends. Okay. Somebody does you wrong, and so you forgive them. You say, that's okay. Between me and you, I forgive you. Let it go. Well, what if you don't do it that well? What if you go, tell somebody, and you get to spread the news, spread the word? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? You know what I know, don't you? It's going to get worse and worse and worse. You know what it's going to do? It's going to separate close friends. Because why? Because you didn't forgive. You know what he says? Have you ever read Mark 11 and 26? The friends, these are scary words. He says, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive. Say what? If you don't forgive, I won't forgive. He's going to be just like you on this matter. That's right. You will send your soul to hell, says, if you don't forgive people. That's right. You will. Listen to me now. He says, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive. Well, we like to talk about it, don't we? We like to talk about somebody's hurt us, somebody's done wrong, it might have been 30, 20, 10 years ago. Oh, you know what they did? You know what so-and-so said? We bring it up. What are we doing? Have we been forgiving? Friends, we've got to forgive. We've got to forgive. We can't carry long grudges. We can't carry these things with us in this life. We're traveling this road. We're laying aside every way. We're laying aside every sin. You rest assured, things that sin. And away. That's right. If we can't be forgiven. Because, friends, there's anything I need in life is forgiveness. Like that man said when we went for the judge, he said, Jason, today you're going to get justice. He said, Judge, I don't want justice. I want mercy. And I do too. Because things we all fall short. That's right. We try to life then. So what have we learned so far? We lay aside what? Every weight, every sin. We run with patience. We look to Jesus. We don't worry about past failures. And we don't hold grudges. One day at a time. One day at a time. And like David said tonight, there's a song. One day at a time. You know, sometimes it's hard to do that, isn't it? Because we plan ahead. We think about what's on down the road, don't we? We don't live one day at a time. Make decisions. Okay? Why do you put off something to tomorrow, for tomorrow, when you may not see tomorrow? Why do you put it off? You think, tomorrow I'll do it, and things you don't even know if you'll see tomorrow. And we read you something the other night, I want to read it again. It is so key, in my humble opinion, to our Christian life in Philippians, the first chapter, verses 9 and 10. And Paul says this, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Now he's talking about here about making decisions, okay? He said, I pray that your love may abound, which means to grow in knowledge. And then as it grows in knowledge, we make good decisions. Don't we? Because we know then what we should and should not do. We're on this road now to heaven. Living the Christian life. He says, I pray that your love will grow in knowledge, in our judgment, or in making decisions. And he goes on to say that you may approve things that are excellent. Okay, now here we go in this life. Here's these three things. We grow in knowledge to make good decisions, that we may approve things that are right. We're traveling this highway. And as we travel this highway, we learn. We study God's Word. If somebody calls it the roadmap, we study the Bible, which is our roadmap. And so we learn as we go on this highway, as we go on our journey. Because we're all going somewhere. We're on a journey right now. And so we get where we make the right decisions. Do you find yourself doing that in life more and more? You find where the right decisions are easy to make? You notice that? You know why? Because you've grown in knowledge. That's right. You've grown in knowledge. You make better decisions. Don't you? Because you know what to do, and you say, well, I know right here what to do, because I know what the Bible says, and so I can make the right decision, and I can approve things that are excellent. How many of us? Y'all study your Bible? If you had a, y'all make a list, you may make a gross list, but you ever make a list of things to do? Is that on your list of things to do? Bible study? Is it? You say, you better believe it, preacher. It's high, it's first on the list, you know, because I want to know what to do, because I want to make it. That's what we have revivals for, don't we? We want to make it to heaven. We want to be on this road that Paul talked about, this race that we're in. We lay aside the weight. We lay aside the sin. We run it with patience. Nothing deters us. Nothing stops us. Did somebody say something to you and discourage you? I said, no, they won't even slow me down. I would think twice about it. There you go. What's that old FIDO thing? F-I-D-O. Forget it, drive on. That's a good way to feel, isn't it? Forget it, drive on. Keep going. Don't anybody stop you. Learn to approve things that are excellent. One day at a time, make the right decision. You know the text story in the Bible in Luke 16 about the rich man and Lazarus? Friends, in this life he had choices. But he had no more choices now. His life is over. No more choices. That's right. You have choices now. And you know what's so beautiful about your life and my life? The blessings of God. And friends, He has given us so much. Oh, America. The land that I love. The home of the brave. The home of the free. I remember reading one time about Thanksgiving. There's many people are digging in the ground today to find roots to feed their children. Can you imagine? Digging in the ground to find roots to feed your kids. I really don't know what it's like. So many blessings we have. Make decisions. In Acts 24, Paul was preaching to a man named Felix. Acts 24 and 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Well, what about that would make you tremble? That it's right being temperate and judgment to come. Well, it made this man tremble. It made this man say, Felix troubled and acid. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Go thy way. As you travel this road of life, do you ever find yourself doing that? It's just not the right time for me. You know, I'm young. I want to sow my wild oats. And like somebody said, I guess you hope for a crop failure. But you can rest assured, friends, if you sow them, you're going to reap what you sow. That's right. You can't sow to the flesh about reaping corruption. You can't do it. As Mama says, the chickens are going to come home to roost. Be careful of how you live. Convenient season. Why would you ask for a convenient season when you hear the truth and when you know the truth? Why do you want to wait till another time? There's no better night. There's no better time than right now. To make change in our life, we talk about laying aside the weight and the sin. And on the patience, of course, we own. Looking at Jesus Christ. Since why can't we get set up about and do it with our lives? And wherever it is, to lay it aside and leave it. And serving God. Faith and courage. We are not alone. We're never alone. In Romans 8 and 31, Paul talks here about God being with us. And he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? What difference does it make what the world says? If God be for us, who can be against us? Look at verse 38. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing says will come between me. Nothing will stop me and stop you. Unless we let it. Death, life, angels, principalities, whatever present, whatever's going to come in life, he said, can come between you and the love of God. Oh, how much he loves us. We must have faith. We must have courage. 1 Peter 3 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. His eyes, his ears, over the righteous. Ears open to our prayers. In Philippians 4, Philippians 4, and again in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, that your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And friends, I wrote to him tonight, and we talked about this a while ago, about this laying aside. It's the essential duty of discarding things. And he's talking about that here in moderation. Moderation. We don't talk much about this scripture. You know that? But your moderation. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9? That I keep under my body and bring it to subjection. I make myself do things. I make myself do things around. That's what he's talking about here. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Then he says, don't worry. Be careful for nothing. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what they told Nebuchadnezzar? Now, they're supposed to get thrown into a fiery furnace. And they did get thrown into a fiery furnace because they didn't do what they'd been told to do. You know what they told him? He said, oh, king, we are not careful to answer you. You know what they just told the king? We ain't worried about it. We not worried about it, king. We're going to tell you like it is. Don't you know? Oh, this is false spirit. Oh, you remember that? Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, he just tore them all out when they told him that. Oh, King, we're not careful to answer you. We are not going to bow down when you hear that music. We're not going to do it. It don't matter what you do. What was that on this road? And they wasn't going to turn aside with it. That's right, they're going to face that fiery furnace. And they did face it. Of course, they was not hurt. But he says here, don't worry. He says, be careful for nothing. How many times do we worry? Good question, isn't it? We worry about things that many times never come to pass.
that we have faith, that we have courage. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now supplication, you know what supplication is? Earnest pleading. Have you ever did that in your prayer? Or you just have, you got a form prayer and you just say your form prayer and then 5 minutes later you forgot what you said? He's not talking about that, brethren. He's talking about earnest pleading. In everything, by earnest pleading. In everything by prayer, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. When there's something, I want to request something from God. What is it I want to request? What is it I want? So how do I do it? I pray to Him. Just like Paul tells me right here. He lays it right out. That's just plain as day, isn't it? If somebody says, Bible's hard to understand. It ain't hard to understand. Isn't that plain? He just, here's the way to do it. Talking to me, talking to you. Do it by prayer, earnest pleading, be thankful, tell God what you want. Look what else he says. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Isn't that interesting? You know what he meant by that? People don't understand the peace that God gives you. It's something over their head if they don't have this peace of God. That's right. They don't understand it. How a person could be at peace and have so little in this life. Or whatever the situation may be, they're still at peace with God. Because of the peace that passeth understanding. The peace that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The road. We're on the road. So what do we do? We're traveling right, aren't we?
Aren't we, brethren? What are we going to do in Romans 12, 1 and 2? We're going to lay aside every weight. We're going to lay aside every sin. We're going to run with patience. And what does patience mean? Patience means what? Steadfast endurance. It means you don't quit. You don't give up. You keep trudging on. You keep improving. If we read about in Philippians, that you abound, your love abounds in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may prove things are excellent. We're traveling light. We're laying aside these weights and sins. We're looking to Jesus Christ. We forget about past failures. Forget it. It's gone. It's done. Get forgiveness for it. Let it go. And we forget people. Don't try to stir up trouble. Make peace. Live peace. Peaceable with people. We live one day at a time. We make the right decisions. Some of you have made some good decisions in your life. I know you have. I know you're thankful you have. Some of you, many of you have been baptized. You made that decision. Some of you have gone away. Some of you have come back. You've made that good decision too to come back. And always remember that God is with you. God will strengthen you and keep you. You're never alone. And friends, someday, when we gather around that great white throne, and hear those words, and into the joys of our Lord, it'd be worth it all. As we sing those songs, what a day that will be. Yes, my friend, the journey we're on is to that time, to that place, to meet our Savior. And you know, I want to look on His face. I do. I want to look on His face, and I feel like you do too. That one that died for me, that one that gave his life for me, that loves me so much. Now, I can't even understand his love. It's so overwhelming, it's so powerful. But he loves us all. If you're not a member of the church, right, please come to be baptized. Confess in public your belief by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. By repenting of your sins. And you can be baptized tonight for the forgiveness of all your past sins. You members here tonight, and so many of you are. If things really right with you and your Lord, do you feel like if your parents would be tonight that you would be ready, that you could hear those words, well done? or some things wrong in your life. You know, Hebrew writer talks about that we all should be fearful lest any of you should come short of being saved. Let us therefore fear lest you come short of entering into His rest. And what he's talking about there is be sure. You got things right. Be sure you're doing it the right way. According to His Word, because things we've got it. We can understand. We got His Word. Maybe you have not lived as you should. You want to come back tonight and confess your faults. Maybe you want to come and ask the church to pray for you that you might be stronger. Look at the sister. Either way, won't you come to the front of us and stand, and as we sing.